Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You download the Crazy Sheets, you get you something cold to drink, and you get ready to talk about some college football betting. I'm Mark, and I'm in the College Football Podcasting Studio, actually known as my backyard, and Scotty's at home. Brother, how the hell are you?
Man, good. Glad to be home. Sorry I missed last week. Our schedules were a mess. Couldn't really get going. You had night, and I had day booked, and we just couldn't get it rolling. One night we could have recorded. I was at dinner until the wee hours. So I did not want it, and the listeners probably did not want any part of me after I'd been drinking for about 6 hours either. So
might have had a little bit of thick tongue.
Thick tongue, yeah, for sure.
Got you there. Not a bad week last week. I mean, we actually won some money. We bet some other games we talked about. The podcast did pretty well. But interesting things. I mean, Washington showed out. Our ticket that we've got preseason on Washington to win the Pac-12 looks good. But at the same time, I'm really looking forward to hopefully seeing the Oregon-Washington rematch to win the Pac-12. I thought that was a great game.
I thought that was a tremendous game. It was everything it was cracked up to be. I want to comment on Bo Nix. We won a lot of money betting against that guy on the road. He's played two really tough road games because that environment at Lubbock was tough early in the year. And he's played well.
Yeah.
I mean, he was super talented coming out. Dad was a good quarterback in the SEC. Kid obviously had talent. But, I mean, I am just amazed at the progression he's made since he left Auburn. I mean, he is just – it really is impressive. And there's two things that come to mind. First, you got to go where you're a good fit. He doesn't go to Auburn. If his dad hadn't been the quarterback at Auburn and he had grown up an Auburn fan his whole life, and he basically wasted 3 years of development. That guy may already be in the NFL had he gone to an Oregon or a proper fit initially. And, you know, but kudos to that kid. And I find myself really cheering for him because as much as I lament transferring, no kid ever needed to leave more than that kid needed to leave the situation and get a fresh start. And kudos to him for taking advantage of it and capitalizing on it. He's playing really good football because he played well enough to win.
Yeah.
The second half, they were the better football team in that ball game.
Yeah.
And I feel like the crowd and the road environment was probably the difference in that ball game. But I think both those teams are really good. I have not seen anything that makes me think that they're candidly not two of the six best teams in the country. So I think both those teams, you know, ought to be still in the national title talk because I think they're both really good football teams.
I would tell you right now, I'm not a big Heisman bettor. I've never won the Heisman. But if you go out and look, you can find Bo Nix at 30-1 to win the Heisman. And the reason I put this out there is they've still got some big games ahead of them. They're going to be favored in all of them. And then
Washington's got a much tougher schedule, Mark, much tougher road down the stretch here.
Yeah, I agree. And so if you're looking at just taking a flyer, pizza money, $50, $20, $100, whatever, at 30-1, which you can still get at a lot of places, it's pretty open commonly at 20-1, I wouldn't tell you that's a bad bet. Because if you look around at anybody else that you think could be in the Heisman conversation, Drake May at North Carolina, I mean, they're doing great things that are out there. I don't know what big win he's got left on their schedule that's going to propel him to that. Penix obviously is the leader in the clubhouse. I think Penix is a little banged up, but they've also got a really tough road, like you said, ahead. Caleb, I think, is done after that showing last week against Notre Dame. Quinn Ewers hasn't done anything. McCarthy up there hadn't done anything. As much as I would have loved to Brock Bowers make a run at it, he's out at least until the SEC championship, and they're not.
He's probably the guy who deserved it.
Yeah, he was the most. I would tell you he's going to be the most influential player, and by that what I mean is losing him, Georgia's offense is going to have to change. Somebody in that receiving room is going to have to make a step up, and it may be McConkey.
I think it's going to be Ra-Ra Thomas. I think it's going to be Ra-Ra Thomas. He's got the ability to do it. They've just been so reliant on him because he was such a blanket. I think that the money they spent in the portal getting him, I think is going to end up now being money well spent, because I still think the only game they could lose down the stretch is at Tennessee. So that puts them in the national title. I mean, in the SEC title game with a chance to play for the Natty.
Because if you look at the end of Georgia's schedule, there's some actual. I mean, I think Ole Miss could be a problem for them.
Without Bowers, I hadn't thought that the whole year. But without Bowers, this is a different football team.
I agree.
They got to go to Athens, so that's going to be tough. But Rebels playing good football, and they could easily be. I'll be honest. I think Kiffin got caught up in a mental war with Saban, and it cost his team the football game. He did some overthinking in that football game. So anyway, I say that. I think the Rebels are good. That defensive problem, though, it is not good. But they're signing guys like mad. I mean, you would think that defense would be getting better, and I guess it is getting better, but man, it's still a long way from good. So,
yeah.
And going against those guys every day in practice, because that offense is good and it's talented, you would think they would get better. So anyway, that'll be an interesting game. Saban's just churning right along. You know, I mean, outside of this game, there's really not much else he can lose this weekend that's left on his schedule. So those guys are cramming along. I mean, obviously they can lose to LSU, but I would be very surprised if they did as bad as that LSU defense looks. So it'll be interesting to see. The team that is intriguing to me is Oklahoma. Even after that win, nobody's talking about
it. I agree. And I'll tell you what, man, I love Dylan Gabriel when he was at UCF. And then they kind of wrote him off. And then last year he was hurt.
And I loved him last year until he got hurt. That was actually a pretty good football. Man, he was explosive in some games and then gets hurt. And it's like they just went in the tank, and everybody's like, oh, they're terrible. Should they fire their coach? And I'm like, well, their quarterback's been hurt all year.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually snatched up after one of the games we watched. I got an OU ticket at 25-1 to win the national championship. And I mentioned it on the show, and it was for $50, right? But I've got that. I've got a Washington one and one other. I can't remember what it is. But point being is their Oklahoma schedule, with you look what they've got left, it's very manageable. The Big 12's not very good. Now, when they play Texas again, most likely in the Big 12 championship, Texas will be favored again. And Texas probably should have won that game last time. But OU got it done. They're still pretty healthy. They did lose Matower, their right guard. That's like a 5-year starter kid transferred in from Cal in that one. But I think he's going to be back. I ran into him a couple of weeks ago when he was in town, and it seems like he'll be back by the end of this. And he's just a pretty good leader on the offensive line. But don't sleep on Oklahoma. I think Venables has done a really good job improving that defense, and which is hard to do when you're running an offense that wants to run as fast as they can run. And so I've been good there. A couple of teams I'm going to talk about that I'm impressed with. Missouri, man, Drinkwood, he's done a great job. Locke's done fantastic, I thought, out there. I've bought in. What he's got going. Theo Weiss, the transfer from Oklahoma, and Lynn Barton, the other wide receiver there. Man, they're playing lights out, and that team looks solid all the way around. Let's talk about the Wagon and the Sun Belt. Can we talk about James Madison for a second?
Yes, that's where I was going to go. Talking about another team nobody's talking about. Man, they are giving up less than 2 yards of carry. I mean, they're playing some football. I mean, not only are they undefeated. I want to comment on one thing. Last week, I ended up betting Pittsburgh, and everybody's like, are you crazy? Have you seen Louisville? I'm like, that team's not good enough to go undefeated. I was like, they got more holes than Swiss cheese. They're just getting it done because they got good coaches. I'm like, sooner or later, they're going to go on the road, and they're going to lay a third. Well, it came Saturday.
Yeah.
James Madison doesn't feel that way because they play such good defense.
Yeah, I agree.
And that is, to me, that is – what's going to make this team, I think, be able to carry on this record. Are they going to go undefeated? Probably not. I mean, heck, they may lose this weekend. I don't think so, but they certainly could. But they look good. And I want to talk about going back and talking about teams we were big on, but they lost some games. You know, I kind of backed off of South Alabama a little bit after James Madison gas canned them. And I thought, well, maybe I've missed on these guys. Maybe, you know, I'm not going to keep riding it. Total mistake. Now they're in the Fun Belt and getting back at it and just gas canning people. And I may bet against Southern Miss every game this week. They got murdered last week. Go on the road to App State this coming week. I mean, that's probably another game they're probably not going to play very well in, although I'm not a huge Appalachian State fan either. But, man, they do not look good. South Alabama playing again next week, early in the week. I think I'm about to get back on those guys too.
Yeah, there's some good teams if you're willing to dig into it. The MAC is terrible.
Terrible.
In the conference across the board has been very terrible.
I'll tell you who's playing well. We're going to talk about them again. I don't mean to cut into it, but Oxford, Ohio, Miami of Ohio's kind of got it rolling. I think those guys are covered. I think they're undefeated against the spread, if I remember right. I've got some notes written down on that game. But, man, they're playing pretty good football. Stunned Ohio, couldn't get it done last week. On the road, they're better. It feels like they're a better team than that. They let that one get away from them, and that, you know what, may cost them their division and cost them a chance to play for the conference championship. So a big loss for the Bobcats.
Yeah. So I mean, we got a long way to go. You know, we talked about this after 3 weeks in. Here we are, 6 weeks in. You know, one of the things we said we wouldn't talk about anymore was Colorado. They won't be – I mean, not because we don't like Colorado, just we didn't think they'd be in the picture again. But somehow Prime has got them back in there. The Stanford game last week when they gave up all those points to lose it was just amazing. But I'm going to say one thing and we can move on. Travis Hunter is amazing. And
yes, he is.
But the thing is, dude, you can't – I mean, if you haven't watched Stanford play yet, both Stanford and Colorado have to be running tempo-wise – top 15, top 20 teams in the country as far as just seconds per snap. Travis Hunter played 157 snaps in Boulder at altitude last week. I think they're going to fucking kill that kid. I mean, I know he's special, but, like, on offense, he was a freak in that game. But defensively, you could tell at the end of the game that
he's gassed, and they were picking on him.
Yeah, he was out of it. And so I just kind of wonder, but it's, you know, and I get it, what they're trying to do. And I wish there was more kids that would snub in to go, you know, play corner when they're, you know, for 10 plays or 20 plays a game that are wide receivers or whatever it may be or vice versa. But that kid, I mean, I think they're just going to run the rubber right off the tires on that man. And he's a special kind of athlete.
I said this on Sunday talking to some guys. We were talking about football and what'd you think. And I said basically the same thing. You and I have not talked about Travis Hunter. I said the sad part for this kid is where he transitions in the NFL's wide receiver.
I do too.
I think he's a slot guy. I think he's a slot guy in the NFL. And the guy is impressive. He can make plays and he can get open. But the problem is he's not playing enough at either one to concentrate on it to get great at his craft, and that's going to hurt him at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I understand he's talented, but, man, it takes a lot. These kids put in a lot of work to get great at their craft. And I just wonder, like you, if the so many snaps taking a lot of tread off his tires. Yeah. A lot of tread.
I mean,
and the NFL worries about that. They get concerned about that. And he's going to roll up there like he played 8 years of college football.
Oh, Scotty's got it. That was last week, man. We had a winning week. What's our total at for the podcast for the season?
37-32-1. Had a couple of difficult weeks after a couple of really good weeks. But we're about to get it back, baby. Getting into October, you and I have always – struggle a little bit in October, and I think it's because the books get dialed in, and then we always kind of find our stride end of October, 1st of November. So here it comes, baby. Let's get on track this week.
First game we got Wednesday night, Battle of I-10. I read this morning this is the 100th time these two teams have played in Siusa. That would be New Mexico State traveling to El Paso to play the Mighty Miners that you've got out there. I'm with the New Mexico State on this one. I think I talked about it a little bit if you caught the Monday podcast I put out, just trying to get ahead of things. I laid 3 with New Mexico State in this one. They got a quarterback, Diego Pavia. Kid's probably going to be the best player on the field in this one. And UTEP's defense UTEP has not been playing well. I think Dana Dimmel is on a massive hot seat. They did get the win last week. But this New Mexico State team's playing for some revenge. They haven't won this game in several years. They're 4-3 straight up. This team's 2 wins away from getting to go to a bowl game. And I mean, if you're Jerry Kill, he's got them dialed in. They seem to play hungry. It's a rivalry game. I would normally really like the points in this one, but I just think New Mexico State's a better squad. I'm going to lay the 3 with New Mexico State Aggies in this one when they travel to El Paso tonight to play this game.
I do too. I think this will be an ugly game, but I think it's the ability for New Mexico State to run the football, averaging 6 yards a carry, versus that UTEP defense giving up 5 yards a carry. Strength on weakness generally translates well when you're playing in a ball game. And look, while this is on the road, what is this, 30 minutes apart?
I think
45 minutes apart?
Something like that.
It's not max hour.
Yeah.
It'd be like me driving, like people driving down from Denton for North Texas to go play SMU.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what this is like.
I think they'll have a good crowd at this one. And the other thing, too, is if you get a chance, if you listen to this and you're listening on your way home and get home, turn on the Sun Bowl. It's a beautiful venue. It's set right there in the side of the mountains. It's a great spot. So let's ride New Mexico State, baby, -3 Wednesday night, Siusa game. Thursday night, Sun Belt, baby. James Madison will be traveling to Huntington, West Virginia to get this one on. This is an old FCS rivalry. These teams have played several times. Over-under here is 49.5. James Madison's laying somewhere between 2.5 to 3.5. It's pretty well painted across the board at this point. We talked about how much we think James Madison's a wagon. Are we going to ride him Thursday night?
We're going to ride him in. And look, I like Charles Huff at Marshall. I think he's doing a good job. He's a Penn State and Mississippi State former running back coach, left state to go to Alabama under Saban. I think he's a potential big-time head coach, just simply because that's what he was a good recruiter at all of those schools. He's the guy who signed Jaquarius Marks and Dylan Johnson. Our Washington listeners recognize Dylan Johnson, Mississippi State transfer that's up there, and then Marks is obviously the best player Mississippi State's got by a couple of miles. So he's a good recruiter, can identify talent, and I like him, but I just think this James Madison team is playing really, really good football, and no one has ever made the jump better than they are making the jump.
I agree.
And I understand they're not playing in the Southeastern Conference or whatever, but they're playing some decent football teams, and to get this early in your tenure to 6-0, and already be bowl eligible, as we're talking about, before Halloween. Man, that's impressive. I like James Madison. I mentioned their run defense. They're giving up 1.5 yards a rush. That is impressive. I don't care if you're playing middle schoolers. That is a really, really good job of playing defense. I think that is the difference in this ball game again. I like James Madison. I like the opportunity for him to get it done. They're able to make everybody a one-dimensional team, and yet they can get enough pressure on the quarterback that it creates problems. They're +4 in the turnover department. Marshall's -2 in the turnover department, and that's all from that defensive line being able to dominate up front. They're able to drop guys, create some pressure on some guys without having to blitz every down. So that's what I like about this football team.
One thing I want you to keep in mind, too, when you're thinking about James Madison as the season goes on, because I got a feeling this won't be our last time we're going to be on these guys. This team cannot play for the Sun Belt Championship because they can't go to a bowl. The only way they get to go to a bowl is if there's not enough teams that qualify and then they can slide in. I do think, and if I'm wrong, somebody hit me up on Twitter, though, if this team qualifies for a New Year's Six Bowl, they actually could get a chance to go to one of those.
And so
the one thing I will tell you is this team's going to have a lot of grit in its teeth all season long. And that's the reason I'm not scared to lay points on the road against this Marshall team that I do think is good, but I think this Madison team gets it done. Only other game I got, Scott, during the week, I haven't played it yet, but I may lay some Rice team total there against Tulsa. Tulsa's defense is terrible, and JT Daniels has been spinning the bean pretty solid. For this Rice team, he's got them to 3-3 here, and they're scoring 32 points a game. So if I can find a good number, I may dive in on that. I need to look at the weather in the SMU-Temple game. That game's going to be played in Philly. Temple's backup quarterback came in for Kurt Warner's kid last week. He's rough, bro. That's all I'm telling you. You may want to look at a team total in SMU as well. If you can get something around a 27.5, I would tell you that could even be playable and go from there. Moving on, let's go to Big Ten.
Hold on, before we leave James Madison, I got one other thing I want to say.
Yeah.
if you're Virginia Tech, if you don't go hire Kirk Cignetti, then you deserve everything you get.
I mean, he's definitely winning the battle in the DMV from a recruiting standpoint. I mean,
it's unbelievable. He already knows the state. I mean, he's got a better program than both those big schools.
Oh, yeah, 100% he does.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
How that, if that guy doesn't get that or the Virginia job, you deserve everything you deserve. You get everything you deserve.
So, anyway, Scotty, moving on. Biggest game we got on the board this weekend, or one of, it's got to be the biggest game this weekend. Penn State, Ohio State. This will be a noon Eastern kickoff. Over-under here is listed at 45.5. Ohio State is getting 4.5, or excuse me, laying 4.5 points in this one. Penn State scoring 44 points a game. They're only giving up 8-6-0 straight up. And as you know, James Franklin's coaching this team, and that motherfucker knows what the spread is every week. He's 6-0 against the number. Ohio State is also scoring 36 points a game, giving up 9.7. He's 6-0 straight up, 3-2-1 against the number. I'm going to roll real quick on this one and see what you got to think. But I like Penn State in this spot. Penn State getting 4.5, might even look for a 5 in there if you can. You might find one. The only thing is Ryan Day has absolutely owned James Franklin since he's gotten up there. I think he's something stupid like 35-0 against Ohio State teams that, or excuse me, the Big Ten teams that aren't Michigan. And he, on the flip side of that, James Franklin against ranked teams is like 4-14. And so this being on the road, Jim Knowles' defense has absolutely stepped up. They were the difference last year in this game. Was JTT, that defensive tackle that they've got there, was a huge difference. But I like what I've gotten from Penn State. They've got physicality. Defensively, they've played well. We're going to find out what they've got. And to me, Ohio State just looks a little off. And I don't know if Travion Henderson's going to play or not. They're kind of banged up in the wide receiver position as well. But if they can't run the ball, I just can't see them being overly explosive against Penn State. They've got three NFL defensive backs on that Penn State football team. I'm going to roll with Penn State to get it done this week. I think they pull the upset, frankly.
Great point on Penn State. That was one of the things I had. They've not won here since 2011.
Good Lord.
You get a program like Penn State, man, they're not supposed to go 12 years without beating anybody on the road. I mean, seriously, they shouldn't be losing to anybody six straight times on the road. They really shouldn't. They have too good of a program to do that. I agree with you. To me, this is all about Ohio State. Can they figure out a way to get that run game going? And if they can't, I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of dropping 8 from Penn State. They're going to be getting after his ass because I think they feel like they're one of the few schools that have got good enough defensive backs to actually cover some of these guys. Look, Harrison's legit. I mean, that it doesn't matter who they're playing or how good the guy he's playing is, he's going to get his.
Yeah.
You drop that guy on most NFL rosters, and he's going to be the best player on their roster at wide receiver. Just a handful of schools that he wouldn't be. That guy's a player. Ohio State obviously has great wide receivers. They always do. It's not just him. They've got some other good ones. But I believe they have to be able to run the football, and they have not done it. If they can't run the football better than they did against Notre Dame, they're going to lose this ball game. I don't care if it's at home. Understand that ball game was in South Bend. I don't care. They're going to lose this football game. They have to be able to take some pressure off that quarterback because at the end of the day, Penn State is going to be aggressive. I like Penn State in this ball game as well. I love getting this many points, but I agree with you. I think Penn State may win in this football game.
Yeah, Notre Dame defensively put up a hell of a fight against Ohio State, and they had a chance to win that game. And I think Penn State's defense, I've graded it out a little bit higher, and so that's where I'm going to roll with it. But, yeah, the only thing that gets me is Franklin just being able to get over the hump. But they win here, ton of momentum. It's exciting. Let's see how
it's going to go. Do you know how big that game in a couple weeks will be? Because they play Michigan November 11th at home. You know how big that game will be?
Oh.
Because I think this is the first time, Mark, if I'm not wrong, I think that this is the first time they're going to have done two wideouts.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know.
In the same season. If I know I read that somewhere, and I just can't remember. I'll ask one of my buddies next week and confirm that, who's a Penn State guy. But, I'm pretty sure that's the case. They're going to do it again. That's going to be another huge game if they win this ball game. That sets up something just gigantic. with a trap game waiting on deck at Maryland right before it. So that's a interesting part of the schedule. But they get to play two straight home games, and then Michigan State on a neutral field. After Michigan, they get Rutgers and Michigan State on a neutral field. They win this ball game. You're talking about Penn State having a legit chance at a national championship, even if they lose that game to Michigan.
Yeah, I think if you want to buy a Penn State national championship ticket, I haven't looked at the odds, but you probably have to put some pizza money on it now. And I don't think it's a bad investment. I mean, it's not a bad ticket to hold. The only thing, how big of a shitburger do you think Fox feels like they're having to eat the fact that they're going to have to roll out either Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State to play Iowa in the Big Ten championship game because they still have conferences in there? Like, if you're Fox, don't you go to the Big Ten and be like, hey, look, man, we'll write y'all a check for $10 million so that – but don't make us put Iowa in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, don't make us put Iowa in there so that they can just somebody can just go get throttled. I mean, and the sad part is I believe it is entirely possible that we end up with all three of these teams with one loss.
Probably.
Because I think they're all really good football teams. Yeah. The Big Ten's really top heavy because the rest of that league is just kind of meh. But, boy, the three at the top are really good football teams. We're not going to get to see two of those three play again. Sucks.
Well, if you're the Big Ten next year when they – I don't know how they're going to do it. I haven't seen anything. But when you roll Oregon, USC, UCLA, and Washington in there, at least at this point they'll have a conference championship that makes sense because you're going to have seven or eight heavyweights in there. Based on how those programs are all rolling. So that's next year. I'm excited for it. Scotty, let's stay in the Big Ten. Let's do an interstate rivalry game. Wolverines will be traveling out to Sparty in East Lansing to play little brother. We were on Sparty last week, and they had a chance to win that game. They made so many errors at the end. Line here is 24, over-under's 48. If you've watched Michigan play all season long, they're just bullies. And I mean that in the best way. They are physical. They play as a team. I mean, I guarantee you, if you're not a Michigan fan, you might not be able to name three players on their team. But trust me when I tell you, as a unit, these guys can get it done. And they have just played so well. I've been so impressed with them.
Yep.
Sparty on the other side, I think D'Antonio coming in is a big spike for this team. But they've still – the roster is just depleted. It's not nearly as good. I mean, look at the quarterback for Auburn. It was this quarterback at spring training at Michigan State. The guy that's probably going to win the Biletnikoff, Keon Coleman at Florida State.
Was on the roster.
It was at the end of spring training. And so, I mean, that's what kind of talent left this roster that they've had to replace. Never mind all the other stuff that's gone on around it. I think you're on the same side. I lean Michigan to cover this one, but you're going to laugh how I'm going to play this game. I think Michigan State's going to come out with their hair on fire, throw everything they can at this game. I may take me a Sparty, especially if I can get me a Sparty plus 14.5-ish for the first half, and then turn around and play Michigan second half and Michigan for the game total. This Michigan team in the second half reminds me of Penn State a few years ago when, like, you almost had to set your alarm to go bet Penn State in the second half because they're just so physical that they just wear you down. And granted, these are lower-level teams that they play.
Low.
Yeah. And so I like it, but that's where I would roll with it. Michigan minus 24.
Yeah, Michigan just keeps – they just keep doing a good job just pounding guys. That the second half, you're right. I mean, they just wear – take that Minnesota game. I mean, that game was competitive for a long time in the first half. Hell, I think they were behind for a little while.
Yeah.
And just you look up and their gaps came to them at the end of the game. It's like that every week. They just body blow, body blow, body blow. They're terrible in the first half for the most part. They come out flat. And I think that's a testament to how good this football team is. It's not a rah-rah. It's not all jazzed up. They just come out with a workmanlike attitude and go to town and just wear you down. And they just keep coming and coming. And you look up and you've lost by four touchdowns. And that's the way this team, that is truly the way this team feels. I love watching this hardball football team. this is the best team to me that he's had. So I'm excited with you. I actually like exactly what you're talking about. I like all three of those lines. I'm only going to take the number because I think they're gonna put their line out. Second half number, if you're right and it is close, because this is really the first game we're going to have gotten some oomph, a game where these kids care and they're fired up, freak game, wanting to really put a boot in somebody's neck. So I don't know if they may come out with their hair on fire, which they hadn't done all year, is the reason I'm going to lay off that first half. But if Michigan State's able to keep it close, you bet your bottom dollar I'm taking Michigan second half, and I'll obviously be on the game total as well. So, yeah, we both like Michigan in this ball game a lot.
Let's stay in the Midwest, Scotty. Toledo will be traveling to Oxford, Ohio to play Miami of Ohio. Over-under here is 48.5. Miami of Ohio is getting 1.5. Both of these teams are 6-1 straight up. Miami of Ohio is 6-1 against the number, whereas Toledo is 2-5 against the number. I'll put this out there because I know it's your MAC play of the week, but if you go look at who these teams have played, Miami of Ohio has got a much more difficult schedule than what Toledo's played thus far. Could we get a home dog pulling an upset here against what would be the power of the MAC conference?
You know we're going to get an upset here. I do like Miami in this ball game. Toledo has not. I thought they were going to look better than they have. So, I got a lot of concern for them going on the road here. I agree with you. Miami has already gotten a really good win against Cincinnati in that ball game earlier in the year. This is a pretty good football team. I like these guys as both of them are 6-1. Difference is Miami 6-1 against the number. 6-1 against the number, 6-1 overall as well. I like them here to move to 7-1 against the number, which with a line this close very likely means they win the ball game as well. Give me some Oxford, Ohio, Miami, Ohio for the cover on the MAC play of the week.
Yeah, I like it. I think Miami's got a better quarterback play. I like Daquan Finn a lot, quarterback at Toledo. I know a lot of y'all – this game's not going to get watched. It's going to lose in the wash because it's going to be buried somewhere. But I think Gabbert has done a really good job at Miami of Ohio. And so I like what they've done here. We've bet on this team a lot over the years. Hopefully we'll be back on them as the weeks start coming.
Well, Scott Martin's a good football coach.
Totally agree.
I mean, people don't realize this is his 10th year there. I mean – that's crazy. I mean, that is a long time to be there. I mean, yes, he does not have a winning record versus the FBS, but man, he's done an awesome job. 14 games under, but he's 12 games over the spread. So, I mean, at the end of the day, these teams are competitive. They get ready to play when they need to. He had a great record at Division II when he was there. I think Chuck Martin's a good football coach.
Let's stay in a small conference game, Scotty. Let's travel down to Lafayette, Louisiana, for a Sun Belt matchup that we've got there. I got to find this game on the board. I don't have it pulled up in front of me. Georgia State, ooh la la, be playing Saturday night in Lafayette. Ooh la la, laying 3 at home. Georgia State's coming in here. They're 5-1 straight up, 4-2 against the number. Ooh la la is 4-2 straight up, 2-4 against the number. Now, I'm going to say this. I really am surprised at Ooh La La, but that they've played this well thus far. This was a team I had downgraded a lot after last season. You know, because when you lose Sunbelt Billy to go coach at the University of Florida, I thought he took the magic with him like he took all those kids on that roster. And so I'm surprised that they've played as well. But to be laying 3 against the Georgia State team, who I think has a chance to win the Sunbelt, I don't know. What about you?
At the end of the day, I love me some Georgia State. They've been playing well all year. I love the way they're running the football. We talked about that game at Coastal. And then just off the radar, I came back and took Coastal the next week against Appy. That team's not as bad as Georgia State made them look. And Georgia State just went full gas can last week against Marshall. I mean, that was a shredding.
Yeah.
And I just think this team's playing well, and they're doing it because they're able to run the football. Ooh La La's turned the football over. We lost this game with Texas State and Ooh La La a couple of weeks ago. We didn't get that game wrong. And there's a couple of huge turnovers that cost us that game. And they were runs after the catch turnovers where guys are, moving the ball down the field and then fumble the football. So I don't think we got that game wrong. I don't think La Tech's that good. They made a couple of big plays. There weren't eight people in this stadium for that ball game during the day. There probably won't be but 16 there this week for Georgia State. Give me Georgia State. They're going to beat these guys because they're going to win it at the line of scrimmage.
Take Georgia State in the money line, baby. Get you a little sprinkle in there. Get you some extra cheese. I'll have to look that up here in a little bit. Scotty, these next couple of games we've got, whoo, baby. Alabama, Tennessee, big game. Let's smoke us a cigar. We got a little revenge factor on this one from last season. If you remember last year, Tennessee, this is when their kind of coming out party happened when they beat Alabama, and people thought, oh, my God, this team's for real. Over-under here is 48.5. Alabama's laying 8.5. When you look at this team, Tennessee scoring 33 points a game, giving up 17. They're 5-1 straight up, 4-2 against the number. Bama scoring 30 points a game, giving up 16. They're 5-1 straight up, 4-3 against the number. I'll tell you what's funny about these two teams to me is this, is that everybody kind of threw Bama in the garbage after they lost to Texas. Wadded him up, threw him away. This team's not any good. Their offensive line can't block. Milroe can't throw. Blah, 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 blah. Well, now we look up and Bama's probably going to win the SEC West and maybe has a chance to win the SEC Championship. I like them to win the SEC. Tennessee, on the other hand, if you haven't watched them play this year, this is not last year's Tennessee. What's the fat kid's name that's on King of the Hill? That's the little, you know, I'm talking about that TV show. That's
I can't remember. I don't watch it. I can't.
Bobby. Remember. Bobby. Every time I see Josh Heupel on TV, he looks like Bobby from King of the Hill. I mean, he's got it. He is not aging well. He is just. He and Bert Bielema are not going to be in any modeling competitions anytime soon because those are some. I mean, have you seen how big Bert Bielema is? He is gigantic.
Oh, he's huge. God.
He is as fat as that kid that plays D-tackle for Tennessee that's rolling in at like 428.
Yeah, I mean, 420, yep.
He's huge. But anyway, this is not the same team from last year. Tennessee's they're really built more around their defense, especially the front seven. And they've been playing really well. Physical, they've got some talent in there. They did a great job recruiting, putting them in there. Joe Milton – he has not looked great chunking the deep ball. I never thought he looked good throwing the deep ball at Michigan. Even when he was here, people forgot he had the starting job that first game against Pitt and lost it. I've been whelmed by what he's been able to accomplish. And that's the reason, Scotty, I'm going under the total on this one. I'm going to try to find a 49, may even buy it up to that. I could see a lot of grind in this spot. And with this being a rivalry game, I think you're going to get everybody's top effort in this one. But I just see this one being a little bit closer than maybe the number. But I also think if Alabama can get up on Tennessee, Tennessee has not had very many explosive plays all season long. And so I don't know how the one thing that they might could be able to do is exploit that defensive secondary a little bit for Alabama. But I don't know if Heupel's going to want to take those shots because he hasn't proven that he can effectively do that game in and game out. Whereas last year, Tennessee's offense was a lot like the Baylor offense under Art Briles years ago. RPO, but they were looking downfield, score from far, big chunk shots. Milton just doesn't do it for me, and I can't believe they haven't rolled in the freshman that they recruited. But I still think they're a solid defensive unit, and they can run the rock. I'm going to go under 49 in this one.
I think they're doing this for defense. Look, we've seen what's coming Saturday. Both these teams played Texas A&M and basically played the exact same football game. 20-13 last week. Tennessee A&M, Bama went on the road, 26-20. You know how many times Bama has gone over a 49 total this year? Once, when they played Mississippi State. Because State's defense sucks and they can't get to the quarterback. SEC teams are averaging 90% completion against Mississippi State. They suck. It isn't that this Alabama offense suddenly found itself. It hasn't. It's got lots of problems. This is going to be a defensive-dominated game. Same thing's pretty much true for Tennessee as well, though. A&M, the total was 33. Take South Carolina and UTSA out of it because both those defenses don't measure up. Florida, in a loss, they scored 16 points for a total of 49 in that game. And that stellar team, Austin Peay, they got a whopping 43 for their game total. I absolutely love the under in this ball game. They're gonna fight in the phone booth. Both these teams hate each other. Both of them have got major problems stretching the field at the offensive spot. Doesn't have anything to do with skill on the at the wide receiver spot. It's got all to do with skill of the kids throwing it down the field. Both these teams are good against the run. I think it's a very low scoring. They fight in the phone booth. also think Tennessee stays within a nine number.
I could see that. The one thing I think definitely changed Tennessee's offense more than probably a lot of people want to talk about, losing Brew McCoy was a big deal. Because not
big
only
deal.
That guy,
big deal.
He's an NFL wide receiver. He was a leader on the field, but you know what else he did? He blocked really well. Yep. And he ran into a lot of double coverages there where they would have to bracket him. And so losing him really changes what you can have to do against those guys. Because I think Kool-Aid and the rest of those guys at Alabama could man up. But I won't be surprised to see him in a too-high shell for a lot of the game. And just and that's the biggest problem. If you're Tennessee and you're Alabama in this game, why you would man up is beyond me. You run a too-high shell with those guys and you make those quarterbacks throw into a zone, they're going to have problems. You're seeing in the NFL on Sundays with these newer quarterbacks that coming in, you make those guys throw into a zone and they don't see the big openings because you don't just see a guy running wide open, you know, across the field. They don't see the guy sliding over. I won't. And you're dealing with a fantastic defensive mind in Nick Saban here. Look for that to happen this week. Go under 49.5. Now, Scotty, let's talk about a really gross game. Let's talk about Iowa. And I don't even know if this is really going to be a play, but we're going to talk about it. Let's talk about Iowa and Minnesota in this one. Iowa has dominated. Ferentz has dominated P.J. Fleck. I can't wait till my buddy hears this. He hates P.J. Fleck. He thinks he's the biggest blowhard out there. But I just can't see. I mean, Kali Akmanis, the quarterback at Minnesota, has not been solid all year long. I can't imagine he's going to be effective throwing the ball into this Iowa defense because not only does Iowa out-scheme most teams, but they've actually got better talent than what most people realize. Their linebacking core is going to be in the NFL. They've got a defensive tackle that's going to be in the NFL. And so this is a struggle for these guys. And on the flip side with Iowa, don't worry about Brian Ferentz getting his contract renewed if he doesn't score 25 points a game. He's not going to get there. But by once they get past this game, though, the rest of their schedule is a joke. But I think they win this game similar to what they did against Wisconsin. They just get out there and suffocate that team, a lot of three and outs, grind it out, wait for somebody to make a mistake, and then they pounce on it. Last week, the Missouri punter out through in one pass. He had more touchdowns and more yards than Deacon Hill did, the quarterback that's at Iowa. If you haven't seen this kid play, tune in for just a second. It's going to give you some rest in peace, brother, but it's going to give you some old Jared Lorenzen vibes. My man is 6'3", 260. He is not moving around in the pocket. If someone breaks through, motherfucker is hitting the ground because he can't do anything. Like, he tries to roll, and it just – I mean, it's like they're literally, you know, sacking Grimace. I mean, just wrap your arms around him and just roll him over. He's going to the ground and that stuff. So, I don't know if it's official play for us or not, but 31.5 is too sweet of a number to not bet under on that because that's a fun game to watch right there, a grinder out at 31.5.
This is the definition of it ain't under till it's over. This is it right here. I am telling you, both these teams are terrible. Do you realize that Ferentz's contract says he's almost got to cover this? He doesn't have a chance to get over this number because Minnesota's actually pretty good on defense.
Yes,
I mean, minus what Michigan did to them, they've actually played pretty well against, and this ain't Michigan's offense. So it is just, this is an ugly game. Man, if they go under 31, for the first time, because I've been laughing about, you're not going to, I keep telling everybody, well, he's got a contract. I don't care if his contract says he's got to score 80 a game. They're not, I don't care if it says he's got to score 15 a game and he doesn't. If they win the Big 10 West, they are not going to fire their offense coordinator because guess what's happening if you fire him? You're firing his dad, too. Yeah. No one's ever going to take that job because just FYI, Iowa job ain't exactly easy.
No, hell no.
There ain't got eight people in that state that are D1 guys coming out every year. Nobody, you know, when's the last time Bama or USC or somebody big time went to Iowa to sign a player? And if they go, it's for a lineman. They don't have a skilled guy one up there. I mean, look, man, it may be ugly football, but the dude wins. And I watched him come down and beat Joel Moorhead in a bowl game with Mississippi State having three first-rounders on a team. And that dude goes and beats them. Don't tell me he can't coach football. The dude can coach football. I mean, I was watching that game thinking if he took this talent and played his talent, he'd win by four or five touchdowns. He would. That's the bottom line. just unfortunately, it was very hard to get the talent up there to do it. He's a good football coach, but God, this game goes under 31. Oh, man, this is an indictment of offense in 2023.
Oh, boy. That's all we got, folks, this week. Couple games I'll throw out there we lean on, or I at least like. I think if Riley Leonard's back, I think Duke's a live dog. I don't know if they could come back and win that game at Florida State, but I definitely think it could be a much better game. The line's at 13.5, but I wouldn't play it without it. We said that last week, and then they came out and won and covered. Same thing with Miami. If TBD's playing, I like this team against Clemson, but I don't know if Tyler Van Dimes is playing or not. I've heard he's banged up. I haven't seen a practice report for today as we record this on Wednesday. But those are two interesting games that I've got, and that's about it for me.
I'm going to give you two more, and then we can call it a day. The Hugh Freeze Bowl, baby. I'm going to tell you something. He's going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at the Rebels on Saturday. I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Ole Miss probably covers that game. But when I tell you he's going to throw everything he's got at that game, I'm not kidding. That'll be the best game Auburn plays. Not Alabama and Auburn. That's outside of Alabama all year long. Freeze is going to give it all he's got. And make no mistake, going down there and looking like hell at LSU's got nothing to do with this ball game. They mailed it in. They are going to give it all they got. Ole Miss coming off a bye week. Interested to see, does that offense keep humming coming out of that bye week?
You could see him start a little slow. Could definitely
could see him start a little slow. It happens a lot out of a bye week. Auburn's a tough place to play. That's a rowdy environment when they get down there for a big game. And that, trust me, this is going to be a big game. And then the other one I've got for you, Illinois, live dog against Wisconsin at home. But, I mean, Illinois at home, +2.5, but you got a backup quarterback in, Braden Locke, who was third team at Mississippi State under Mike Leach. He was signed with Leach, so he likes to run this kind of wide-open offense. But candidly, from everything I was told, I actually hear he was the better, even though he's 13, but the better of the quarterbacks that were younger, because Baylor's obviously struggling with one of the guys who transferred as well. But I think that's going to be a big difference in the ball game this weekend. No Mordecai for Wisconsin going on the road, backup quarterback playing for the first time with significant action. I do not expect him to play well. This is still a pretty good Illinois defense. And while not as good as I think they thought they were going to be, still a pretty good defense. I think they'll be able to create enough havoc getting to the quarterback that they're a live dog at home. Live dog. And if they get two wins over Whiskey back-to-back, that'll be wild.
Illinois beat the shit out of these guys last year. And, I mean, this was a much better Illinois team last year he's got this year. But now I agree with you. And so it'll be fascinating. Navy. Do they cover? Does Navy stay within 11 of Air Force?
Man, last week I've covered this. I had a money line parlay with which I won the line with Wyoming, but I had a money line parlay and I'd already covered it with Pitt, and it was paying gigantic odds, and I really felt like Wyoming had a chance to win that game, and they did. It's not Air Force is better than certainly than they've been. I mean, people talk. I don't care if they go 12-0. They put those Jake legs and let them take one of the bowl spots, and I'm going to be so pissed because, dude, they do not have any talent. And I know this is Navy, but, yeah, it feels like they ought to be able to stay within this number. Looks like the weather's going to be bad up there, too. Maybe a little bit of rain and wind. If that's the case, yeah, I think you do take Navy.
I think Air Force is much better than this team. Granted, they just got their little curse. They got ranked for the first time this season. And we know what happens with those teams that happen to get ranked the first time. Seems like they puff their chest out a little bit bigger that week and then lay an egg the next week. I just don't think they do it this week against Navy. I don't know if they cover 11, but I think Air Force easily wins the Commander Trophy this year. So that's what I'd be leaning there. But, folks, it's been a lot of fun. Hit us up on Twitter. Smash this. Give us a like. Give us to your friends, whatever it may be. Having a pretty good season, enjoying some college football, and we are looking forward to rolling things out. We may start trying to put out some earlier midweek shows because now we've got full midweek slates, which is never a bad thing. We've only got like 28 more days in a row or something like that of football on every single day. That being said, thank you for everything. We'll talk to you next week.